right? At the end of the day, healthcare is about saving lives. The first thing on everyone's mind is should be, hey, how am I going to ensure that patients' lives aren't going to be at risk during this attack, right? How can we minimize that risk and that blast radius?
Hi, I'm Marianne Bohr with HIMSS. Today, I'm sitting down with Charles Andry, security architect at SHI. We'll be talking about how to protect your hospital from cyber threats. And before we start, I'd like to say thank you to Checkpoint for sponsoring this podcast. Charles, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Marianne.
So can you tell us a little bit about how healthcare cybersecurity is like other industries?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things about cybersecurity in any industry is that you have common controls that are consistent across all areas. And I think what, you know, kind of catches people in the healthcare space is they start to look at the 20% of the most unique issues facing healthcare, and they forget about the other 80%, right? And so they're so focused on solving this 20% challenge that they really aren't focusing on doing the basics, right? And the basics are where most of these attacks are happening and where all your threats lie. So there are definitely, you know, things in the 20% area, the challenges there around, you know, equipment and the ability to patch and manage and all of that, that are just very different from your normal, you know, IT type environments within normal corporate America. But there are plenty of ways to protect your institution that can take those into account and really improve your security posture without getting caught up going through the motions and trying to check boxes and really not improving your posture.
Right. The fundamentals are so important in cybersecurity. So where would you say hospitals need to stay vigilant, and what types of attacks do they need to be on the lookout for?
Absolutely. I mean, vigilance is the key, right? You want to make sure you have visibility. Right now, attacks all across the industry are happening, and it really is focused a lot around identity. You know, if you look at, you know, the landscape of every industry, and particularly healthcare, it's so easy for someone to, you know, either let their credentials leak, or maybe there are systems that don't, you know, provide multi-factor authentication. There are all these disparate environments that aren't connected with a single provider. And so we see a lot of threats, I would say, coming from not only the outside, but also the inside, right? So don't forget protecting your environment from the inside out, because it's a big point in which attacks can occur. A lot of it starts at those credentials.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, since hospitals do need to rely on various facilities and outside organizations to help them provide care, how can a CIO safeguard critical data, but at the same time, enable that greater information sharing and customer experience?
Yeah, so for a CIO, right, safeguarding that critical data, you know, it's going to be about having that visibility, understanding where that data lives. Does it live within your EMR systems? Does it live within your platforms that are built to store medical information? Or are your employees maybe going outside of policies and protocols and storing things in non-approved storage locations, right? So you want to make sure that you have great visibility and understanding what data is in your environment, where it is on your network, doing things like, you know, looking at solutions around DLP, data classification, making sure that you have some of that in place. So that way you can identify when critical information, whether it's PHI, protected health information, PII for just the information around that needs to be safeguarded for your patients, and knowing where that's moving, right? Where it's stored at rest, where it's moving across your network. And as you start, you know, moving more and more things to the cloud, where it's located in the cloud, because that's another huge entry point for abuse. A lot of cloud environments are not configured properly. You may have excessive sharing permissions. And so that's a really big hot topic right now for healthcare organizations, is just making sure your data is stored in the proper location and making sure wherever it is stored, it's protected.
So with all that in mind, how should hospitals go about creating a cybersecurity strategy? Like, what goes into that kind of strategy, and who should be involved in putting it all together?
You know, with a cybersecurity strategy, I always start with asking, you know, what problem are we trying to solve? Like, where are our threat vectors? What is important to our organization? Because every organization is different, right? Whether you're a hospital, whether you're just a healthcare provider, whether you're just a data processor, right? You want to make sure that you understand your business intimately. And then you need to get the right stakeholders, like the CIO involved, the CISO involved, risk, legal, you know, understanding what's important to the enterprise as a whole, and then creating a roadmap for how you're going to alleviate some of those threats and minimize the potential for damage, whether that's transferring risk, whether that's mitigating the risk, accepting the risk. And so once you have a really good understanding of that, then you can start looking at, okay, where are there opportunities to bring in partners, vendors, maybe just changing processes and procedures, right? It doesn't all have to kind of flow around technology. Some of it's just internal processes, right? That just need to be adjusted. And so kind of build out your strategy that way. And then, you know, always work towards standards, you know, look at NIST frameworks, you know, whether you're NIST or ISO, CIS, PCI, you know, HIPAA, you know, always have those in mind and make sure that you can check the boxes. It's not just about checking the boxes. When you're building a program, it's about putting the right pieces in place. And then those pieces are going to help you check the boxes very easily.
Absolutely. Now, how can SHI's security posture review be used by hospitals to create a cybersecurity strategy that focuses people, processes, and cybersecurity tools?
Yeah, so at SHI, we have what's called a security posture review. And that security posture review, we take a team of professionals. We have an advanced solutions group here at SHI. And what we've done is we've kind of transitioned our whole business model from just being a tech provider where we can sell software and technology, hardware, and whatnot to more of a services group where we can add that consultative expertise. We have over 800 people in this advanced solutions group that focus on everything from security to networking to data to governance, risk, all of that. So what we do is we have a team of professionals that sit down with your team, whether it's people within the InfoSec department or IT as a whole, and we start to have a conversation, a dialogue around what tools you have in place. How are you leveraging your tools? What processes are employed? Where are the areas that you may think you have gaps? What's working well? What's not working well? And then what we do is we take and consolidate all of that information. We look at opportunities for consolidating platforms, because at the end of the day, we're all doing more with less. We have small teams. Being in healthcare prior to my role at SHI, I know very well what it's like to operate, you know, a very lean team and trying to get projects done. And the last thing you want to do is manage 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 different products, right? Because then it just becomes shelfware. And what started out as being a security solution now just becomes a burden. And then you're not really getting the value out of it. So we look at that and we try to see how we can help you consolidate that, maybe leverage additional functionality and components of the products you've already made investments in, right? So it's not just about selling something new. It really is about helping you achieve your goals.
I see. Now, you know, a lot of cybersecurity professionals really kind of preach about this concept of zero trust. So could you maybe explain zero trust and how it can apply to a hospital system?
So, you know, it's funny, we have people that come to us and they say, hey, I'd like to buy zero trust. and you know, it's always an interesting way to start the conversation. I'm like, well, you can't really buy zero trust, because zero trust is more of a, it's an idea, right? But it's not a new idea. We just had a conversation earlier today, and zero trust at the end of the day is just what we should have been doing the whole time. It's about managing privileges, managing access, all of that. And so zero trust is really getting back to the roots of IT security. It's about understanding where people should have access, what they should have access to, when they should have access to it, and managing all of that effectively, having the ability to approve requests, do access reviews, and things of that nature. So it spans everything from how do you access data, who has the right access to data, to how are you gaining access to the data, what networks are you coming through? Are you coming through VPNs? Are you coming through secure portals? So zero trust takes on, if you get too large, it becomes a problem that almost seems impossible to solve, right? Because there are so many different ways and different layers of zero trust. It's comprised of so many different technologies. And every manufacturer out there is jumping on the bandwagon of, hey, I need to add zero trust to every little piece of marketing I have, right? So that way somebody's going to Google search me and say, I need zero trust. And you're going to get everything from a ZTNA platform with a zero trust network to, you know, identity providers to asset management, right? And it's all going to be under the guise of zero trust, but you have to just peel it back and think of it as least privilege, right? And managing how people are accessing information. And I think when you think about it like that, you start to think about how your environments are architected, how your networks are architected, how your remote environments are architected, and where that risk is. How much access does someone have when they're connecting via VPN? Is that giving them full access to your entire network? Or are you restricting that to just the tools and systems that they need to do their jobs when they're offsite, right? But then even inside your network, when you're on-prem and inside the hospital, if you have somebody that their only job is to do HR, do they only have access to the HR systems? Or are they somehow getting access to other critical systems on your OT network that can cause a problem if that system was compromised? So it's thinking about the different threat vectors and what people have access to and what systems have access to other systems. And I think you'll really be able to move quickly down the zero trust path and not get overwhelmed with the marketing spin of what zero trust is.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, I understand SHI has extensive professional development tools and a curriculum that's based around cybersecurity. So can you tell us how this solution can be leveraged for hospital staff?
You know, we have a lot at SHI. We have an amazing team of experts that we've built from industry, former practitioners from anywhere from, you know, all industries, hospital, you know, manufacturing, you name it, we have experts in those areas. And so I think one of the big things that SHI can provide is if you're struggling on your journey, your InfoSec journey, you know, because it is a journey, it's, you're never going to be there. You're never going to be at 100%. You're always going to be striving to improve your posture. But a lot of times get kind of in the weeds around what it is you're trying to focus on. And you can almost put blinders. And so what we try to do is to take those blinders off. And it's having conversations with our professionals, educating through workshops and other material that we have that we've built within SHI to help your team understand the breadth of what's possible, right? And to, instead of, you know, going at things from a product or a solution perspective, we start to change the conversation to how it's going to help improve your security, continue to enable a better strategy around InfoSec and how to go along that roadmap. And then also to just think about how you're doing things currently and what you could do to change those. And, you know, going back to the people and process piece, sometimes it's just changing how people are interacting with systems or exchanging data or information, right? Big problem that we're seeing in the industry is business email compromise. Just changing some processes around how you process things, whether it's if an invoice comes in, validating who that vendor is, having a phone call conversation if it's something unknown, you know, even if it's a trusted vendor, making sure it's coming through right channels and whatnot. And so these are things that we can have very strategic conversations around and bring forward and say, here are how we're seeing our customers solving some of these challenges. And also having, you know, key takeaways for how you can improve your own security posture. And these workshops are really great because we really try to peel it back and make sure that everybody's on the same playing field, right? We're all speaking the same language. We all have a common dictionary that we're working from. And then we really help to set the stage for really big, wide thought processes and not getting too deep into the weeds, because we see so many companies that they say, hey, I want best of breed and whatever. You know, they go down that path and next thing you know, they have 30 different tools. They have five people managing it. They don't know how they're all integrated, all this stuff. And if we had just sat down with them and built a plan, walked through some workshops in different areas, whether it's through identity or it's zero trust or ZTNA, you know, we can help peel it back and say, look, yes, we may need certain technologies, but here's what it looks like from a complete picture. Really help them set themselves up for success.
Well, that sounds great. Now, if a hospital does undergo a cyber attack, what should it do? And how can a company like SHI help?
This is a big question that corporations, hospitals ask themselves. And if they're asking themselves while they're in the middle of an attack, they've probably waited too long. And so what I would say is, it's unfortunate if you are asking yourself at that stage, but I would absolutely engage legal. I would engage my cyber insurance provider, understanding what resources we have to, you know, try to mitigate the risk, you know, from all different areas, right? Whether it's financial, whether it's from reputation, whether it's legal, right? Those are all the areas that you have to think about. In addition to probably others, you know, how are you going to minimize the risk to your patients, right? At the end of the day, healthcare is about saving lives. The first thing on everyone's mind is should be, hey, how am I going to ensure that patients' lives aren't going to be at risk during this attack, right? How can we minimize that risk and that blast radius if something does happen? You know, those are some things to think about. And what I would encourage everyone is to start having those conversations now. If you have a cybersecurity insurance, start talking to that provider, have MSAs in place and contracts in place with the people that they work with. So that way, when something does happen, you know, oh, I just need to pick up the phone and call this person at this number. And we already have all of our rates set in stone. We know what they're going to provide from a response perspective. And it's really going to help us to speed up that whole process of being able to respond and minimize the damage. Because the last thing you want to do is have some sort of attack or breach or something and sit there and think about like, okay, which provider is going to help me in this particular scenario, right? You want to understand all your providers that are at your disposal and which areas are going to be able to help you. If it's something like imaging machines, right? You know, SHI is here. We can drop ship machines to you. We can put images on it and you can be back up and running. Or if it's, hey, I have, you know, maybe it's a data exfiltration thing. That's where maybe you set up a forensics team and you start having conversations with, you know, how to minimize that damage. If you have a ransomware attack, right? Do you have someone that if your organization's position is to pay the ransom, then making sure you have the means to do so, right? The last thing you want to do is trying to set up Bitcoin or whatever it is at the end of the, you know, 11th hour to try to get that paid. But in all cases, you need to have a plan in place. You know, how are you going to respond? How are you going to react to whatever the occurrence is? You need to be doing tabletop exercises to go through some of those events. You need to be reaching out. And SHI has a fantastic arm of business that can help out with tabletop exercises. We can help with building that strategy, helping you identify those areas that you may not have thought about, connecting you with partners that whether, even if we can't do something particularly, right, we have a vast network of partners that we work with all the time that we can connect you with to help you in any of those different situations and scenarios. And the beauty about it is that if you work with SHI, you have one vendor, right? You have one person to communicate with. So you call us and say, hey, I need the special network gear from company X over here because ours is bricked, right? We can make that happen, whether we have it already in an inventory or, you know, warehouse somewhere, or if we have to reach out to that vendor on your behalf. And the great thing about it is you don't have to start that relationship all over again or have that conversation with the vendor. We run it all through SHI. It's on SHI invoices. So you don't have to worry about how are we going to pay the bill at the end of the day, because you should be about worrying about responding to the incident and less about how you're going to respond to the incident.
Absolutely. Now, Charles, where can our listeners find out more about SHI and their services?
Sure. So the best way to do it is to go to the SHI.com website. There's a phone number at the top. There's also a contact us form. You can also start to look at, you know, what hardware is kind of in our wheelhouse, software, brands, you know, relationships we have. But if you reach out, you put your information in the contact us form, put a little bit about what you're looking for, right? And we'll make sure that that gets routed to the right person at SHI, whether it's in the security side, if it's networking or whatnot. But also keep in mind, just because it's, if you don't see it necessarily on our website, doesn't mean we can't do it. SHI really prides itself on being vendor agnostic. And so the things we like to bring to the table is having those unbiased conversations and really helping our customer achieve their business objectives, no matter what they are.
Great. Well, Charles, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for sharing your insights. And special thanks to Checkpoint for sponsoring this podcast. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
Thank you, Marianne. You too.